We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. It is a great Monday. Man, was it a busy sports weekend. Some expected, some a little unexpected, but we'll get you through it all today. A flurry of moves from the Kansas City Royals, both on the injury front, which is not good news, and they make their intentions clear on what they want to do the rest of this season. We will dig into all of it. Perfect timing to have our guy Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, stop by the show this morning because it is a lot, and all the same, they win a series. And get it done. So we'll have that. The Aftershocks, big winners last night. Now two wins away from a milli. And they'll play those games at Coke Arena, which was rocking during that game last night as well. We've got Chiefs news to get to. A lot coming for you. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company. WCBC Delano's debut brew is Hatfield's Mama. It's a German Kolsch with a clean, crisp character that's smooth and refreshing. Make history with Hatfield's Mama. Wichita Brewing Company, Delano's debut brew, available at all three WBC brew pubs. Tommy, good morning. How are you? I actually tried that beer yesterday for lunch. It's really good.
I'm good, by the way. I think that it's going to be a busy day. I mean, it obviously already has been a busy weekend. We've got the trade deadline coming up here in a couple of days. And not only the Royals making moves, a bunch of teams making moves. And there's a lot to keep track of and keep up with. We're going to do our best to do that today and the rest of this week.
Yeah, it's been an interesting trade deadline. Some of the bigger players are likely already moving, maybe not on the board. Guys like Seth Lugo, who the Royals signed an extension to, and we'll dig in. So I'm glad we have Jalen here this morning. You have all this happening for the Royals over the weekend. They get the series win, Tommy. At the same time, they go and they make a moderately large trade to get Randall Grichuk in, and most significantly in the thing we've been talking about for weeks and weeks, they make a commitment to Seth Lugo. So you've got all of these things happening. Oh, and by the way, Jack Caglione goes to the IL and Chris Bubich has a bum shoulder apparently. So it's just like where do you even start with their weekend? It was a wild weekend for them.
Yeah, it was hard to keep track of everything that went on, and they played baseball games too at home against the Guardians. You had a rainout on Friday night. They played a doubleheader on Saturday, wrapped up the series yesterday, and there's no rest for the wicked. They roll right into a series tonight, starting tonight, it's Atlanta Braves tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday afternoon. So it's a busy time leading up to the trade deadline. And you're right. I mean, there were a bunch of moves that were made, both good and bad for the Royals. And, you know, they're clearly positioning themselves to try to stay in contention this season, but then also keep that window open long term.
For sure. There's no doubt about it. The Yankees are vulnerable now without Aaron Judge. Like, there are reasons to get excited for them making a push this year. But there are more reasons to me looking at the, you know, at the bigger picture with the Royals. And that's the part, I think, if I wake up this morning as a Royals fan, that I'm pretty excited about, right? I'm pretty fired up about that. The fact that they committed a bunch of money to Seth Lugo, and like that's just significant to me in so many ways. We'll get into all of this in the next segment. Let's continue to kind of bounce through the headlines here, though, to open things up. The Aftershocks, Tommy, last night, get it done. Another impressive performance from them. They advance. It was, the official attendance was 4,400 people. The shocker, you know, the shocker hopefuls were there and very significant. Marcus McDuffie, Rashard Kelly, and Connor Francamp. 33 points for those three, and Marcus Keene was good again. So this is a team that looks like they got a real shot. That was one of the best teams in the tournament, the one they just beat last night. I suspect that we're going to have large crowds the rest of the way. How could you not be fired up for this? They're two wins away from a million, and they are playing them at Coke Arena in the summertime, in the evening. I think we're going to get, especially this weekend, if they can win Thursday, I think these are going to be really cool environments. I don't know if you felt this way. And it was 4,400 people, and they get crowds like that for the Shockers frequently. But the energy, and I was watching it on TV, felt a lot like an old school Shocker basketball game. Like, it was pretty intense in there. It was awesome to see it. And man, it just makes you ready for Wichita State basketball to get back to that point too. But what a great win for them. Congratulations to them. And hopefully they can get a couple more.
Yeah. So they're going to be playing We Are D3 coming up on Thursday evening, 7 o'clock tip. If you can't make it to the game at Coke Arena, it will be broadcast on FS1. We Are D3, by the way, they've been impressive in their bracket. They're the number 4 seed. They upset Boeheim's Army, which was the number 1 seed, the Syracuse alumni team that, you know, they've been around for a long. We do appreciate that, but they've been around for a long time in this tournament as well. And then they knocked off the UConn alumni, and you know, now they're here in the semifinals as the 4 seed. The Aftershocks, the 2 seed in their region. So We Are D3 is not a team to be taken lightly, but that game going to be taking place on Thursday night. And look, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's the end of July. Really, I mean, obviously we've got the NBC World Series going on, but other than that, like, there's not a whole lot happening right now. That's a huge reason why I love when the TBT is scheduled, because it's kind of in a slow time in the sports calendar. Generally speaking, for live sports, at least here locally, we're not quite yet to football season, college football, all of that not in place yet. So there's really no excuse to not have a really, really great crowd at Coke Arena on Thursday night.
Yeah, it's good. I think the game was, I was a little confused by the game time. You know, they had it listed initially as like a really early tip time, and then last night it looked like maybe it was a later tip time. So maybe they've switched some things around, and we'll take a look at that as we make our way through the morning. Kind of a late finish last night. Just want to make sure everything gets finalized there. Sam Stevens, Tommy, quickly with a big performance, almost got it done. You texted me and said, and we're like, oh man, he almost got it done. The last time I had checked was around, you know, lunchtime. He had a huge hill to climb at that point. He's like 5 strokes down. So awesome. I mean, big payday for him. Really wished he, you know, could have gotten the win there. But either way, like, he had the lead after day one, or he was up there. I think he was tied for first, and then just kind of stayed with it in a tournament where dudes were really scoring. So that was cool to see him all weekend long, too.
Yeah, he had an opportunity to birdie on 18, didn't make the putt, ultimately finished 1 stroke back of Kurt Kitayama at the 3M Open. I mentioned it to my wife last night. I think I posted it on social media. He's going to break through eventually. He's going to be a PGA Tour winner.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's so close. He's knocking on the door. He's going to get it done. He's had a great season so far, and one shot away from at least getting into a playoff to potentially win that tournament. He's going to get there eventually.
So we've got that going on. The Chiefs, you know, camp continues. One small piece of news I think is interesting. Juwan Taylor was back, and he's in a rotation right now, and Andy Reid was asked directly, is there a competition there? And he just kind of beat around the bush and said, kind of competing in there. So could that be the case? We'll dig into that a little bit later as well. I was on Infinity Sports Network nationally yesterday, which was, I laughed because I was like, sure, the Jake Ferguson news, if you missed it. The Cowboys make a big signing, and it's not Micah Parsons. It happened while we were on the air as we're talking about defensive end contracts. It was just kind of funny. It was like, oh, wait, Cowboys big signing, and it's not Micah Parsons. I know we have people that love to make fun of the Cowboys, so we can maybe get to that. We may not have time for that today. But as much as we've talked about the disaster of, you know, some contractual stuff, I thought that was funny. There's a lot to get to. Most of it, though, today involves the Royals because they just – They had a lot to talk about yesterday, so we'll get to it. Royals baseball, by the way, tonight returns. 6:30 coverage begins as they host the Braves. Tommy mentioned it. You can listen right here on KFH or at KFHradio.com or on the Odyssey app. We'll come back. We'll talk about all the things that happened with them this weekend.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Hey, do you want to win a trip to see the Zac Brown Band, Love and Fear, live at the Sphere in Las Vegas this December, including a two-night stay in a suite at the Venetian Resort, Las Vegas, the only hotel directly connected to Sphere? It's easy to enter the national contest for a chance to win. Just download the Odyssey app and listen to KFH for at least an hour. You can learn more at odyssey.com/Zac. Thanks to the Messina Touring Group for that. Good luck, everybody. We'll give away some HTO as well over the course of this week. There is a big drink drop at HTO happening this week, Tommy. We'll tell you about it in just a little bit. All right, the Royals, Tommy. Boy, how do you even keep up with all of the things that went on for them over this weekend? I guess you start first and foremost with the fact that they won the series against Cleveland, right? The fact that they gained a half game in the wild card standings. They're now four games back. There are more teams gettable. Texas is on a heater. They have climbed back up there. But Seattle, you know, didn't have a great weekend. The Yankees and the Red Sox are just kind of fluttering by. So the opportunity's there for Kansas City. And clearly, the ownership and the front office feels like they can go get this thing, Tommy. I mean, it is becoming very obvious now after a trade for Grichuk, which is good timing as they have some injuries. And more importantly, an extension to Seth Lugo. But this team is playing well, and they're being rewarded. They are getting a vote of confidence right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where you start. I mean, obviously, all the transactions are extremely important, not only for this season, but beyond. But I think you start in the short term. You start right now with this past weekend and the fact that they were able to take two of three from the Guardians. And look, I think that when they started off that series, the opening, the first game in that doubleheader, the momentum was there for them. I mean, it was a walk-off three-run jack by Jonathan India in the bottom of the 10th that allowed them to win that game. And you felt like, okay, like there's going to be some momentum here. And I know that they lost the nightcap in that doubleheader, but they fought to the end on that one. I mean, they were down big early and got back into the game and made it a game against the Guardians. And then I thought they looked really good yesterday. So all in all, you take two of three from a team that is right above you, not only in the wild card, but also in your division. And the fact that the Tigers, who are above them in the AL Central, they continue to not play very good baseball. And the Royals, I know that we're looking at what it's going to take for them to get into the wild card race. They find themselves only 8.5 games back in the AL Central. Is it likely that they get all the way back in the AL Central? Probably not. But it was just a couple of days ago that we were talking about that they were 10 games out from the Tigers, and now they're 8.5. They gained a game and a half on the team that leads them in the AL Central. So there are new possibilities out there, new opportunities out there. You know, if they can get their sights set on, hey, not only could we potentially get back into the wild card race, but man, we could make it a race in the AL Central also down the stretch. I mean, that's exciting too.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, there's no question. Like it's all right there. And what I love is that they're pushing it in. When the Lugo news came down, I was so happy for the organization. The Lugo move is a move for the future, and it's a message to the team and to the fan base. There aren't very many teams. In fact, if you took away the Dodgers, I'm not sure any team has spent more money than on the roster than the Royals have the last 2+ years here. They are putting their money where their mouth is. They're backing it up. You've got not just the Bobby Witt extension, which is just significant, but the initial signings of Waka and now extensions of Waka and Lugo, like all of this stuff they're doing, the early graduation of Jack Caglione, like they are showing us, I think, that they mean business. These aren't the old days, and they have a commitment to winning here. And I think if nothing else, regardless of what happens this year, if you're a Royals fan, whether these are the right moves or the wrong moves for this year and whether they can ultimately get there, just know that they're trying. Because for so many years, they really weren't trying, or it didn't feel like they were trying, right? And so I think more than anything else, that's the takeaway for me over the weekend is like, man, they really want to win. And that's saying something in baseball. You can't say that about every organization.
My first thought when the signing came down last night was that, number one, I was thrilled. But number two, I was surprised. You and I were texting back and forth about it. I was surprised that they were able to get it done, not because they didn't want to get it done. I thought the Royals absolutely had an appetite to lock up Seth Lugo for another couple of years and not have him walk in free agency. But I was surprised that Lugo wanted to get it done. I felt like, and I know the terms of the deal, it's been widely reported, you're talking 2 years, $46 million. There's a vesting option in 2028, all of this. Man, I think Seth Lugo could have gotten more on the open market. My first thought after being very happy was, man, I'm surprised because he must really love Kansas City, because I feel like from a dollar amount, he probably could have gotten a little bit more, maybe not a ton more, but at least a little bit more. And I felt like he could have gotten a locked in third year from another team in the open market. He's 36, so a 3 year deal would have gotten him to age 39. And I bet there is at least a team out there, if not multiple teams out there, that probably would have given him a full 3 years. The fact that he maybe took a slight discount and 1 year less to stay in Kansas City shows me that he's bought in to be a part of this organization.
I mean, he clearly likes it here because, yeah, look, this was a good extension because, remember, it extends it out. So
it's a great extension for the Royals. Fantastic.
It's a great extension for the Royals. Yeah, because if the perform and look, there are, and I hear it and I've read it, there are people out there that say there are numbers inside that say he's not quite as good as his, but he's done this for 2 years. Like at some point, you got to pitch, right? Pitching is pitching. He didn't take a year off this year. So it's basically the equivalent of him walking away from his player option and then getting a $3 million signing bonus and a $20 million salary. There is then a third, right, Tommy, an option year,
yeah,
that would be for $17 million. So they would either pay the $17 million or buy him out for $3 million. So he doesn't have to be as good as he is now to be worth 3 years from now to be worth $17 million. So that's a pretty good team option for the Royals too. He's 35 years old. So would he have gone to the open market and gotten a better deal than 2 years, $43 million with a player option essentially, or with a team option for $17 million?
I think, yeah, I think he probably could have.
It would be really close, probably really close. Like there are pitchers. We kind of thought the market, and I've said this before, three years, $75 million is kind of where I thought he'd land in free agency. He is a little older than some of the guys that have done that. And his peripheral numbers aren't quite as good as a guy like Nathan Eovaldi's, let's say. But like Robbie Ray signed these deals. Lugo's been far more consistent than a guy like Robbie Ray. So he probably could have, yeah, somebody would have got desperate and maybe they bump it up to 2 years, $50 million with a team option at another year, whatever it is. But it was so close. And we've said this from the beginning, like it really felt like there was a chance that they could extend him. We don't always get this like that. That's what's also so strange about this. All the discussions we've had about Lugo in the last 2 months have been, man, and I suppose there's a chance, you know, if they don't trade him, they could always extend him. I didn't know that it would get done in the middle of the season, that they would get the contract extension done. So clearly that conversation was a part of this. How many weeks now have we been hearing other teams don't expect Lugo to be out there? You know, it's been 2 weeks since we started hearing that, which means our hunch was correct.
When
he was initially thought of as a trade candidate, they clearly started to have the conversation of, man, we'd love to keep you. Like, otherwise, we might have to. So where are you at with that? Like, obviously, they started having that talk.
How often do we hear of multi-year contract extensions in Major League Baseball in the middle of the year, right before the trade deadline for 35-year-olds? It doesn't happen hardly at all. And I think that clearly the Royals were telegraphing to other teams out there that, look, we're working on this, and we're not. It's going to have to absolutely blow us away for us to stop talking about an extension with Seth Lugo. There is one little caveat that I did think about last night after the news came out. I have no knowledge, insider knowledge of any of this, But there was a little thought that I had. I don't know if they're able to get an extension done right now or have the appetite to do an extension right now if they felt confident about the long-term health of Cole Reagans, if they felt confident about the long-term health of Chris Bubich, if they felt confident about the long-term health of Daniel Lynch. And then you've got other pitchers that really have not been around at all this season that had been projected as starters for them. The long-term health of Alec Marsh, the long-term health of Kyle Wright. Like, there are guys that have been on the shelf for a while that they, I think at the beginning of the year, had penciled in to be contributors in this rotation. And so that's not a bad thing necessarily, because you love having Seth Lugo. But knowing the fact that his contract was going to more than likely not be around after this season, it wasn't going to be up, but he was going to probably decline the player option. I think that the Royals probably entered into this season thinking more than likely we're not going to have Lugo, but we are going to have this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy. And I don't think any of that is guaranteed. Now, I'm glad that they have Lugo locked up long term, but it did make me think, what does the long term health of these other pitchers look like?
I think it's an honest evaluation. You know, Reagans has so much control left, it doesn't really matter, right? Like, you just, you're going to be fine to kind of wait that out. So the issue to me is not issue. The most interesting part of this now is Bubich. The timing of his injury is not good, right? It's really unfortunate. I told you privately, and I'll say it here because it's just, we're just chewing the fat a little bit. I think the move to make now would be to trade Bubich. Now he's hurt, and that makes that really difficult to do in the next 3 days. So that's unfortunate timing. But to me, like, there's a part of it when you look at the future, as you're talking about, like, yeah, what's a more likely scenario? That they can extend Seth Lugo or that they can extend Chris Bubich?
Well,
is Lugo.
The fact that he's on the IL now, Bubich is, I mean, you know, it's
now they can't trade him.
They can't trade him, and the value's, you know, not there at all. And it's a rotator cuff. I mean, that's a shoulder issue. That's a concerning thing. It's just a strain. It looks like it's probably precautionary. But the fact that he was fairly vocal about, you know, my shoulder's not felt right and I haven't had my stuff and blah, blah, blah. Even if they hadn't put him on the IL, what kind of team out there would want to engage the Royals in trade talks with Bubich? Even knowing how great Bubich has been this year, you're talking about an all-star, all of that. That's an extremely risky move to make for a contender out there, because look, anybody that's going to be interested in acquiring Chris Bubich, and I know it's all null and void now because he's on the IL, but any team that would want to acquire him is going to be a contender, and they're going to need him down the stretch. And the fact that even if he wasn't on the IL dealing with a rotator cuff type thing, that's a risky proposition. And so, first off, it can't happen now, but even if he wasn't on the IL, I have a hard time thinking that the Royals would have been able to move him.
Well, if he wasn't hurt, they could have moved him.
If he wasn't hurt, but he is.
You're right. So like that, to me, it's more about, and I love the story of Chris Bubich. I really like Chris Bubich. I actually think Chris Bubich has staying power and will be good as long as this injury is not something. But I think as an organization, you have to evaluate it. This young lefty on the open market is going to cost a whole lot more than Seth Lugo was going to cost. So you're trying to like evaluate that and say, that's pretty unlikely. It would have been really nice had they been able to then trade a guy like Bubich, because you could have gotten far more back in return, because it would have been for this year and next year. It's not a bad thing that, oh, well, and all those, also the Royals can get him next year too, right? Like, that's still a good thing. And he can help them win next year. They're setting themselves up for a lot of success next year. Like, their rotation now would in theory be locked in with the addition of Noah Cameron, because Michael Lorenzen will probably walk, also hurt right now, by the way. But Lorenzen you would let walk, and then you'd have your five-man rotation set now. There aren't very many teams in baseball that get to start years that way and say, oh, we don't have any questions on the rotation or in the bullpen, quite frankly. The Royals have one little need that could help them a great deal, but it is a small need. There's one spot in their lineup that isn't set, right? Just one. And they went out and they added Grichuk, and he should be good. He'll at least be situationally good, even if he only, you know, hits in situations against certain handed pitchers or whatever. Like, he'll still help the team. But again, like that, the offensive help for this team wasn't coming from a bat they were going to acquire. It was going to come internally. Jack Caglione's out. Can you believe we're going to sit here today and be like, oh man, I'm glad they got MJ Melendez called back up, like as some reinforcements. It's the truth, though.
Yeah.
So,
did you watch any of his at bats over the weekend? And at least it was in the opening game. I watched that game from start to finish, and I think he swung at the first pitch every single time up to bat. And there was one. I mean, there was one in the bottom of the ninth that looked like he had gotten a hold of it, and it was going to leave, and he was going to have a walk off to win the game. And it went to the track. It didn't get all the way out. But he was making good contact with the ball, I guess. They need the reinforcements there for sure. I think at this point now, knowing that they went out and acquired Grichuk, and they've got Lugo locked up, if the Royals make any more moves, you have to switch gears and look just at pitching. Like, you have to look at how can you strengthen and bolster that rotation. Because Reagans and Lorenzen and now Bubich, and like you've got Rich Hill starting games now, you know, for the Royals and all of that. I mean, you have to have a little bit more depth at a spot where you've had depth all season, but now you shockingly don't anymore. And so if the Royals are going to find their way back into this race, and they're not too far out from it, you need some help in that rotation, at least to eat up innings.
There's no question about it. I mean, they just need to, and they need the bullpen to get healthy. And we saw Hunter Harvey's back. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like all the things
this weekend. Lots gone on over the last couple of days.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's back. They are a little thin in the rotation right now, but remember when they signed Rich Hill? You're like, man, it feels like that's going to be significant. Like, we're all joking about his age, and it felt like that was going to be significant. They've done a lot of good things, and I don't know if this is going to work out. And we can talk about that as we come back. I don't know if this is all going to work out. But, man, that you talk about an organization that is just absolutely pot committed to winning baseball games. Like, it is... It's refreshing. You know, like other teams do this. If this was every year, it wouldn't be that big a deal. But it hasn't been every year for the Royals organization. And so back to the original point. I'm a Royals fan today. Are you not fired up about how badly this ownership group in front office wants to win right now? I mean, you'd have to be.
The number of times over the years, and I've been a Royals fan and follower basically my entire life, the number of times that you've had really productive players, really talented players that you know they're coming up to the end of a contract and you're like, well, there is not a chance in hell that the Royals will either re-sign that person, lock them up long-term. It's either they're going to walk at the end of the contract or they're going to trade them. Like that happens every single time. And it's a new era of Royals baseball where they find somebody productive and they're like, we've got to keep this guy and we're going to spend the money to lock them up.
869-1240. You can chime in. You can leave comments, Facebook, YouTube, X. We'll get to some of those. Jalen Thompson's going to join us in our next hour to help us with all this Royals news. Let's kind of make our way back to the Royals. I think we have all the things of significance away from them playing baseball games that happened over the weekend. And it was a lot. Now let's talk about the baseball that they did play. They get 2-3 from Cleveland. They do a nice job yesterday. Noah Cameron's really, really solid again yesterday. Michael Garcia and Bobby Witt Jr. with some big offense in the game. And they continue, Tommy, to just – it's kind of different guys. Like it's a really good feel right now for this offense, just making their way through. Different guys are contributing. It doesn't feel so, you know, daunting and overwhelming. They get, you know, plenty of runs, I think, in a series against a team that can pitch. They go four runs. If they can consistently score four runs, Tommy, or more, but consistently get to four, as much as their pitching staff is kind of hobbling right now, I still think that's going to lead to a lot of wins. So the offensive production in July, we're almost a month into this thing, has been consistent enough. Are we comfortable to say it's finally turned that corner? It took a long time. But it does feel like they are doing now what we thought they would be offensively, which isn't elite. It's not the best, but it's good, right? It's average to maybe slightly above average when they're doing what they should be doing. And that's what it's felt like in July.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you've got to be concerned about what ends up happening with Jack Caglione and how long is he on the shelf. I know he's on the 10-day IL right now, but it's a hamstring, and those things that can linger for a while. And I know that, you know, the offense hadn't been there, you know, like really consistently for Jack Caglione, and maybe getting a little bit of rest isn't the worst thing in the world for him. That being said, though, I mean, we had seen the power come alive, I would say, over the last couple of weeks, and there were some good signs from him recently, taking the ball to the opposite field and that sort of thing, not pressing quite as much. And so you would love to have that pop in the lineup, and consistently, especially as this team, it looks like as a whole offensively, is coming around. But there were contributions in other places. I mentioned it in the last segment. It was fantastic to watch Jonathan India hit a walk-off home run in the opening game of that series on Saturday against the Guardians. It was a three-run shot. He picked up Tyler Tolbert, who had a pretty crucial base-running error. The base-running has not been ideal for the Royals this season. It's been one area that has been frustrating. But the fact that India was able to get it done and hit that home run to win the game for the Royals, I think that you are, to your point, seeing contributions from other guys in the lineup where you don't have to only lean on Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino. There are other contributors. And it was John Rave in the Cubs series. Tyler Tolbert hit his first major league home run in the last week. So you're starting to see other guys coming around and contribute positively in the offense, where we've been needing to see that for quite some time.
Yeah, they have done a nice job to have a lot of options for Quartararo. Brings us to Rick's point, who says they should not be buyers. They're fooling themselves. Been back four games for more than a month plus. They don't have three of their starters from the beginning of the season. I think you can have both. The Royals have committed another $15 million ish to this year's payroll, right? So in that sense, they are buying. Grichuk is a guy, look, I'm curious to see how they use him, and I can't quite get a good grasp of his contract, but it's not something they gave up a lot for. So I don't mind those kinds of things. So I'd be curious, and Rick, you can answer this if you're still with us. Like, are you upset that they gave Seth Lugo an extension and didn't trade him? Like, I think, and I'm genuinely curious, because not buying and committing to this team this year and beyond can both be the same thing. Like, I don't know where people are falling on the Lugo deal, because there are some that felt like it was, you have to trade Seth Lugo because, and the answer, I've always felt like that's not the case. This was the best case scenario with Seth Lugo. We just didn't know if it was possible. The extension, is that buying because you're not selling? You know what I mean? Like, do people consider that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because
they didn't trade him. I don't know.
In the traditional sense, I guess acquiring Adam Frazier and Randall Grichuk makes them quote unquote buyers in the traditional sense. But they're not. I mean, not in the way that we typically think of quote unquote buyers. The Seattle Mariners, they are buyers. They went and traded for Josh Naylor. Whatever team acquires Eugenio Suarez, that team is going to be buyers. The fact that the Yankees acquired Ryan McMahon from the Rockies, the Yankees are buyers. I don't think that a couple of moves around the margins, and that's what, I mean, I've been saying it for quite a while.
I think that makes
acquisitions around the margins. I don't think so. I mean, I guess, you know,
it makes you a not seller.
I would agree they're not a seller, but I don't know if I would call them buyers necessarily. I mean, I guess we'll see what they do, if they do anything else with the pitching staff or whatever in the next few days. But the fact that, I mean, I disagree with what Rick is saying as far as they should not be buyers,
because
I don't think they're, buyers in the traditional sense. I think they've gotten a little bit better on the margins.
And his point is the rotation's banged up, I think, but even with a banged up rotation, you still have a good rotation, right? You still have starting pitching you feel good about. And if those guys come back, being within four games this year with as much baseball as there is to play is fine. Like, there's no problem there. So I'm genuinely curious if people, and I think that they will, like, I think the answer to this is yes. Do people feel like they're buying because they didn't sell Seth Lugo or anybody else? And they're probably not going to now. So does not selling make you a buyer? Because the what you gave up to get Frazier and Grichuk is not anything that you anticipated helping you at the big league level anyway. Maybe Hoffman helps you, but you know, it's not anything of significance. So it's a buy, but that's really just trying to like make sure that you're in position because the trade deadline's coming up, that you've got some injuries to deal with and you've got some reinforcements there. So is not selling buying, I think, is the bigger question. Yes, they bought a couple of players, but those aren't moves that are probably moving the needle one way or the other as a buyer or a seller. That those are depth pieces. Those aren't even going to be everyday starters. Is not selling Lugo making them buyers? They're spending the money like they're buyers. I would say, yeah, okay, so here's Rick. He says he's fine with the Lugo deal, but now he's reading things that are saying they need to go get another starter. Unless it was a controllable starter, I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think they need to go trade for a starter now. Again, unless it's a controllable player, then I think that's always makes everything on the table. Like if they're doing any move that helps them beyond this year, that's also fine for me. But Lorenzen will be back, I believe, pretty soon. Rich Hill showed himself fine one time through. You've still got Lugo. You've still got Waka. You've still got Cameron. They've still got more starting pitching than most teams, Tommy. I think they're fine. They'll eventually, hopefully, get one of or both of Reagans and Bubich back to help them. And the urgency to do it quickly is lessened because the offense is performing well. But I don't even though they're one of the few teams who have made moves to add to the roster, they don't feel like buyers because they're not going to go trade for Suarez. And I don't advocate that they do that, by the way, either. These moves that they've made feel just right to do everything you can this year to try to just keep, you know, you're rewarding your players, you're rewarding the fans. Hey, guys, we're going to stay in this thing without doing anything of major significance to hurt your farm system or anything else. Right. I applaud that. I appreciate that. The Diamondbacks are 5 wins better. They're selling everything. How does that make you feel if you're a Diamondbacks fan?
Well, and I think you hit on something really important there. The fact that they haven't had to mortgage the farm system, you know, get rid of those players to be able to acquire depth pieces right now, I think is important. I mean, the fact that they traded away Cam Devaney, who was a career minor leaguer for the Royals, had barely gotten a sniff at the big league roster, and they trade him to the Pirates to get Adam Frazier. And then they trade Andrew Hoffman, who had been a rarely used reliever for the Royals, to pick up Randall Grichuk. So they haven't gone in, they haven't taken any of their top catching prospects and moved them at this point. They've by and large kept that farm system intact to make these moves. And to your point, I mean, like there had been all this speculation about, man, like if they, let's say they go out and get Jaron Duran from the Red Sox and who they would have to move from the farm system to get a guy like that. Or Brian Reynolds had been the rumor for quite a while. At one point, Jeff Passan was even rumoring, and this was like a month ago, that they could be in on Suarez, like the all the different players. And
I think, that, I mean, that's maybe all, they could have been.
That's all point. Exciting. It's all exciting to speculate on. But then you think about the cost associated with that. And really, at the end of the day, if they make no other moves before the trade deadline right now, they've acquired two offensive pieces. And say what you will about Frazier and Grichuk, at least they are bats. At least they are warm bodies that can provide depth right now. And the Royals desperately need that. And they only gave up a career minor leaguer, a rarely used reliever, and they spent money to lock up Seth Lugo. At the end of the day, they could do nothing else, and I would be okay with the way that things played out.
100%. That could be the last thing that they do. This will all feel like a win because Lugo's going to still be there. Like it, and they haven't taken anything away from the big league roster to prevent them from making a run at this. The timing of them playing well is so interesting because it took so long. But there are still 2 full months of baseball to play in a season that has been so wacky. Is four games insurmountable? Absolutely not. Is four games insurmountable for as much talent as the Royals have? Certainly not. Like they can for sure go win this, you know, go win a, I don't know about win a division, but they're getting closer, but win a playoff spot. Like, why wouldn't that be on the table? Just look at the roster, right? Like, yes, they can. Yes, they can. The Yankees just lost Aaron Judge for at least a couple of weeks. And they were fearing Tommy John. What if the Yankees don't have Aaron Judge? How good is that team? They're not that good. I would say they're not better than the Royals without Aaron Judge. The Red Sox, interesting. Seattle, I really like Seattle. Texas is playing really well. Like, there are teams that are going to be tough to pass. Go chase down the Tigers. Like, why not? Why not? Like, I'm again, if I'm a fan today, and I know, I think you're getting, I don't know where, I wish we could see what fans think. Like, are you happy that they didn't sell and they're not going to sell and they're going for it and they're making commitments? How could you be a Royals fan over the last 30 years watching the way they conducted business for the most part and not be happy with the way the last 2+ years have gone? The money that they have spent on this roster, it's as much as any team is spending in baseball right now.
If nothing else, it just reinforces the thought that they are committed. They're committed to the success of this franchise, not just this season, but they want controllable pieces to be able to keep that window open long term and have the foundation built. I'm on board with it. I'm thrilled that they were able to get that done. I'm also thrilled that Seth Lugo wanted to stay in Kansas City.
Heck yeah. That says something too. All right, we'll come back. We'll look around the other sports world. Jalen Thompson will help with the Royals too. Stick around. All right, welcome in, everybody, for another hour of Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. We've been talking a lot of Royals today. We'll continue that conversation with our Royals insider, Jalen Thompson, coming up later this hour. He's beat reporter for the KC Star. There will be a lot to get to with Jalen, and we'll do it. We also want to check in from Chiefs camp, maybe a little more on Sam Stevens' great weekend. The aftershocks are on to the Final Four. There's a lot to get to today. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. Join the 14th anniversary party, WBC Delano on Saturday, August 2nd. Live music, rooftop DJ, free indoor mini golf, anniversary beers, and more. WBC Pizza and Beer, made here for 14 years. Happy anniversary incoming for them. Tommy, we come back, and man, we'll get back to all this Royal stuff. Let's talk a little bit about Chiefs training camp here. We mentioned that it's kind of a rotation right now at right tackle. We're curious to see how that shakes out. I don't know what to expect there, except it, you know, if you're the Chiefs, what do you owe to Juwan Taylor at this point? You got to just play your best tackles after what we saw last year. And I think there is at least a decent chance your best tackles do not include him as a starter. Decent chance.
Yeah, I had this thought when found out that he was back on the field during training camp. And my thought was he's maybe rushing himself back because he knows that if he doesn't play, he's going to find himself out of a job. And so he doesn't have the luxury to sit back with that contract that he's got and just not play and be like, hey, I'm still going to get paid. And they don't really have any other option at right tackle. So I'm going to nurse my way back to health. I think he's coming back because he's like, well, man, if I don't get out there, then it could very well be Jalen Moore that takes my spot and plays this season. They don't owe him anything right now. The contract is massive. They're not going to renew it. He's going to walk. And I know I'm negative about Juwan Taylor a lot. I don't know the guy. I have no ill will towards him whatsoever. But they're paying him far too much money. They always have. We've known that since day one. And he's a penalty machine. And so the Chiefs don't owe him anything. They owe it to themselves to find the best offensive line that they possibly can for this season and see what they have in a guy like Jalen Moore to potentially be the future right tackle after this season. I don't know if that's likely or not, but we'll find out and we'll see if they've got something in him.
Well, look, Juwan Taylor may be the better right tackle. That's great, too. I just like that they have options. They are in pads now today. I believe today is the second day of pads. So that may have something to do with Taylor getting there. But lighting a fire under any player's butt is not a bad thing. I hope they have three usable tackles because you've got a rookie on one side coming off a significant injury. You've got an completely unknown, never been a full-time starter guy in the mix too. And then Juwan Taylor. So I'm glad he's there and I hope he's back healthy. But it is interesting to hear that, you know, without saying it directly that, yeah, like it's a competition. So may the best man win. Other interesting things. There've been a lot of buzz about Omar Norman Lott. Tommy, you've been calling his name for a while. It sounds like he is above scale. He's been running with starters. And there were people that thought the Chiefs reached on him. So that's also of significance to sort of reinforce that defense a little bit. He's been one of the buzziest players out there. And another guy that's getting a lot of like positive feedback is Jalen Royals. People are talking about Jalen Royals that you don't even see normally like dealing with the Chiefs and stuff, that he's a quick learner and everything. Boy, that'd be handy with the Rashee Rice situation looming. We don't even know. We still don't even know what's going on with that. So Royals coming along quickly is also a nice thing to be hearing about this time of year. But, you know, right now, the Chiefs, I would say training camp has been a success. And Norman Lott, by the way, tweaked his ankle, but he came back. So we don't think he's going to miss anything. But it's been generally all positive so far for the Chiefs. Just keep holding your breath if you're a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, I noticed that he did get injured on Friday in training camp, and I haven't heard any other reports about it. I mean, it doesn't sound like it was that, you know, huge of a thing for him.
Andy Reid talked about it. He's back.
Okay,
he's not worried about it.
Good. Because I do think that having somebody opposite of Chris Jones that can be impactful is important. We talk about how dynamic Chris Jones has been and currently is, and I don't think that that's going to end anytime soon, but it's not like Chris Jones is a spring chicken out there. So if you can draft a guy in Omar Norman Lott who can be impactful on the defensive line as well, long term, not just for this season, but can grow into a pretty prominent role. And I don't know if he will or not, but they like him quite a bit. And he's running out there with the first team and all of that. Then I think you feel a lot more you feel a lot more comfortable with the continuity of that defensive line long term for years to come. So I do think he's a fairly critical piece on that defense, not only for this year, but beyond.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Otherwise, for Chiefs camp, I mean, is there anything else that you're watching super close? We're obviously waiting on the Rice news. There's not really anything to watch for that. We're just kind of waiting for the ball to drop. To me, it's pretty much just that tackle rotation right now, especially now that we're in pads. Like, what? How are those guys looking? In some cases, with Juwan Taylor coming off of an injury and Josh Simmons coming off an injury, like, what do they look like physically? Like, do they look like they're back 100%? And then Jalen Moore, is he going to be able to potentially start? You know, he's never done that before. He's done it, you know, in relief of Trent Williams, but is he going to be able to get in there and do it? That's sort of what we're watching right now. We continue to hear reports that Travis Kelce looks as good as he's ever looked. I think I've been on with that. To me, he's going to be a receiver this year. I think he's going to put up pretty good numbers, Tommy. Like, I think if you tell that guy, like, we just want you to kind of lock in there, like, I bet you we see him split out wide more. It just feels like everything with the way he looks physically, the things that people are saying, the fact that they brought in a guy like Tonyan, another tight end. Like, to me, it's like, just leave the blocking to other people, Travis Kelce. Like, get out there and make plays. Be the security blanket for Mahomes. Make the play when a play to the receiver breaks down. Let's get you back to a red zone threat. And I feel like he's being slept on a little bit. I could see a pretty big offensive year for him.
I think he's going to have to be. I mean, I think that, you know, knowing that they really...
Especially early on.
Yeah. Well, I think knowing that they need to find a way to jumpstart the offense... There clearly was conversations after the season ended in the way that it did with Travis Kelce as far as him returning and coming back. And I know that was up in the air for a minute about what his role would look like and what was going to be expected of him and what they needed him to do, who they needed him to be. And I think that he clearly recognized that, look, for me to be what I need to be for this team and what the team needs from me, then I'm going to have to probably... work twice as hard during the offseason to get myself to a point to where I feel like I can do that physically. And I feel like if he had not been committed to that, we wouldn't see him back. I don't think that Travis Kelce is the kind of player that is going to be a shell of his former self. And so I think that going out and getting himself into the best shape he's been in maybe ever, and knowing that schematically the role might be a little bit different and a little bit more involved for him, clearly shows that they feel like he's going to be a key contributor this year.
You know, there's a lot of chatter about best shape ever. But to me, like it's different shape. If you tell him he's not going to have to sit up there and block defensive ends and defensive linemen, yeah, probably losing a little weight, working on speed and explosiveness instead of power is going to make a difference. It's going to make him look different, but that's what makes me think his role will be very different. Right. I think that if I'm the coaching staff and Travis Kelce is older than most tight ends are still playing football and you're still expecting him to be a big part of the passing game, don't you just say, forget it, man. Like, just be a receiver. Like, that's what we need you to do. We'll have other people pick up the slack from this other thing that you've done your entire career, which is be an effective blocker, right? Which is such a big part of what tight ends do. We'll get that covered. We'll do that with some other people. We want you to come back next year and be a receiving threat. Then it makes sense. Explosion. I was talking to Brandon Zinner. He said there were a couple plays where he looked faster than he's looked and for a long time. Well, that's because they're allowing him to be, right? I think it's role-based. I don't think it's because he was, you know, bebopping around on a private jet with his very famous girlfriend the offseason before. I don't think it was any of that. I think they're asking him to do something a little different than he's ever done. That's what it is to me. Travis Kelce loves football. It's hard for me to imagine Travis Kelce ever got to a point where he let himself go, what people were kind of alluding to last year. And I'm like, no, guys, like he's older and your body lets itself go. So now instead of trying to, you know, be this strength guy, go be a speed guy. Like go get yourself ready to be a bigger receiving threat this year. And that's what keeps like sticking in my head. Like I feel like he's going to have a big year as a receiver. I think it's being slept on a little bit. We'll see. He looks good in camp so far, by all accounts. So that's kind of it from Chiefs training camp. You can chime in on that if you'd like. We got Jalen Thompson coming up later this hour. More Sports Daily. We'll take you around some of the other national headlines.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Hey, you want to win some HTO? You can do that right now. Just text the keyword T to 20357. T to 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. I'll give you a little secret here, Tommy. If you want to try what's being soft launched, an official launch on Friday, Fizzy Refreshers. Now, are you into the craze of like energy refreshers?
No.
It's the big hit this summer. Everybody's doing it. Nope. HTO's been doing them too. They're about to roll out some fizzy refreshers, which means they're carbonated refresher drinks. So if you're into that, you want to try that. They'll be soft launched this week until Friday when they go out officially. So keep an eye out on that. But if you want to win an iced tea, very different. You can text that keyword T to 20357. Good luck, everybody. We come back in here to Sports Daily, Tommy. Elsewhere in the sports world, to me, it's kind of NFL news season. And I think for us, like, it's what teams might be a threat to Kansas City? Like, what do we need to be paying attention to in this league that's always interesting in general? Terry McLaurin being part of the Commanders this year, do you consider the Commanders a threat to the Chiefs? If you do, they're going to need him. He wants money. He's 29 years old. They've kind of pushed it all in this offseason. I'm surprised this contract situation has gotten to this point. But he did show up to camp. I just, like, are you really going to go all in like you are and let that dude, who's maybe your best player outside of Jaden Daniels, be disgruntled? I don't think it would take much to get that deal settled out if you're the Commanders. They've got room against the cap this year. Like, I think that's a simple one that I'm a little surprised it's getting to this point.
Yeah, I think the bigger story is how long will he be on the shelf? He's on the PUP list right now. And I know that I think they're going to get him re-signed. I don't think it's going to be that super contentious of a thing. I mean, he already reported to camp when there were reports he was going to hold out long term. He's already at camp. I think they'll get him re-signed. But then the question becomes, how long is he going to be injured, and what does that recovery look like? Do I think that they are a threat to the Chiefs? I mean, I think that they're a contender in the NFC, but they're going to have to get all the way to the finish line to be a threat to the Chiefs. I don't really connect those dots necessarily, but I do think that they are a contender. I like them a lot. I know that the basis of this argument that I've heard from people that, oh, like, they're going to regress and Jaden Daniels in year two. The only argument in that is you're thinking Jaden Daniels and CJ Stroud are the same person, and they're not. They're not the same person at all. And, like, you can't say that just because CJ Stroud and the Texans had a regression in year number two for him and that team, that the exact same thing is going to happen for Jaden Daniels and the Redskins. I mean, the Commanders.
No, I don't. I think that's a little unfair because I fall in that camp too. It's not because of CJ Stroud necessarily. It's because of the leap that team took last year to 12 wins. I just feel like that was a pretty big leap. Can they follow that up? I don't know. I think the Cowboys are going to be better. I think the Eagles are just as good. I don't think the Giants are going to be any good, but they're going to be better than they were last year, probably. So, you know, what? There's more competition around them. I think their schedule will be more difficult because they finished in second place, because they were a playoff team. I just think, I don't think they're winning 12 more games this year. Yeah, so I like what they've done this offseason. I don't think that Jaden Daniels is going to regress. I think the Commanders are going to regress. So that's what it is for me. It doesn't have anything to do with the rookie or the second year slump we saw to Stroud, because honestly, Stroud's kind of the outlier there.
Yeah, right? but so many people are connecting those dots that, well, look at CJ Stroud, the same thing's going to happen to Jaden Daniels. How do you connect those dots?
I don't think it's I think that's silly, because most of the time with these rookies that have had great rookie years, they have even better second years. When you think about the breakout rookie guys, or let's call them, you know, first year players, right? First year starters, that second year, oftentimes we're seeing even it. Look at Bryce Young last year. Look at how much better Bryce Young got last year instead of his rookie year. CJ Stroud's not the only rookie that's had success lately. Bo Nix was really good as a rookie lately. Remember how good Justin Herbert was? He was also really good in his second year. Joe Burrow in his second full year as a starter. Patrick Mahomes in his second full year of a starter. How much better did Jalen Hurts get, for goodness sake? So I think that would be silly to draw it back to CJ Stroud, because that was almost the abnormal, the drop we saw from Stroud. And I think he'll probably bounce back to be a better player this year. But it's not about that for me with Jaden Daniels. I think that his floor is pretty high because of the way he runs. It's more about collectively, can that team that made that big a jump, are they really that good? Like, are they Eagles good? Are they Chiefs, Ravens, Bills good? I don't think that they are. I could be wrong about that.
I think they are. I think they've got a phenomenal defensive-minded head coach in Dan Quinn. And so you've got a defensive-minded head coach, then, and the way that those guys play, they take on his identity. I like him a lot, and I like that defensive unit. And then you've got an extremely dynamic playmaker at quarterback with great weapons around him. I think that they'll get McLaurin re-signed. I think the only caveat is, again, how long is he going to be dealing with this ankle, and what does that look like around him? But they've got a lot of talent, and I like them a lot. Do I think they'll win the division? It's going to be hard because the Eagles are there, and I don't see the Eagles taking a step back necessarily, but I certainly think that they're a playoff team.
Yeah, well, playoff team and a 12-win team that reaches the NFC Championship are a little different. But we'll find out with them. They're an interesting team, if nothing else. They will be a really fun team to watch next year. Another team, one of the reasons I think that, you know, they'll have two tougher games they had a year ago. The Cowboys will be better because Dak Prescott's back. They've added a little bit to the offense. But Micah Parsons, this situation's a hot dang mess, Tommy. You've got, you know, Jerry Jones and all the things that he's saying. Here was my thought yesterday. You tell me if I'm crazy. I see the Jake Ferguson extension. I absolutely think the Cowboys should trade Micah Parsons. I don't think that, like, if when you committed the amount of money that they committed to Dak Prescott, when Micah Parsons wants to go reset the market, which he should want to, and by all accounts does, that's not going to be the reason the Cowboys win or lose a Super Bowl. I just don't think that paying Micah Parsons $42 million a year makes any sense at all for the Cowboys, who must ensure that Dak Prescott is in the absolute perfect situation to help them win. I just don't think it's worth it. And if you talk about putting a player on the market, can you remember a non-quarterback that would ever be as valuable as Micah Parsons would be in a trade? I mean, he would be, not only would you have $45 million extra to spend on other players next year, you're talking about as valuable a piece on the market as I could ever remember.
I mean, this is not a knock on Micah Parsons whatsoever.
What I'm about to say
is not a knock on Micah Parsons whatsoever. I'm having a really hard time thinking which team is going to be willing to give up the world to get Micah Parsons and then sign him for the amount of money that he's due. What team out there is going to do that?
X team, I would do that. The Bills for sure.
Okay. To give up a massive haul.
Yes.
To bring in Micah Parsons.
To push it all in.
And then sign him for 40-some million dollars a year.
If I was a team that was close and had a great quarterback, I'd be willing to do it. Because the truly elite quarterbacks are going to be good whether they're in a perfect situation or not, right? Josh Allen would fall in that camp. Lamar Jackson would fall in that camp. If I was a team that has been that close for that long, and I had some cap space, which makes it like, the Bengals can't go do that. They've got their own guy to try to figure out. But if I know I've got a quarterback that's going to be able to get it done either way, I would absolutely do that. What's more valuable to the Bills? A first and a third round pick or Micah Parsons potentially on that defense? I don't think the Cowboys are in that position because I don't think Dak Prescott's good enough to just be great on his own. He's a good quarterback. He's a really good quarterback when he's in a really good situation. So for me, like if I'm the Cowboys, which are an S show all the time with all the nonsense that they make these things so much more complicated and dramatic than they need to be, I would rather spend that money to make sure that Dak is in the best position that he can be in to be the most successful. Whether that's making sure this offensive line is in good shape, extending those players, maybe trying to invest in a running back a little bit. Like those are the kinds of things I think the only path that the Cowboys have, and this is their own fault for giving Dak another big deal, their only path is for him to be great. And in order to do that, they have to invest in that. If you pay that kind of money then and turn around to Parsons, that's not one of the situations to me where that makes any sense at all. I don't think they're close enough to invest that kind of money in the defensive end. It's like the Steelers with TJ Watt. TJ Watt's not winning the Steelers a Super Bowl. He's just not. And so now, Jerry Jones's problem is he should have done the Micah Parsons deal a year ago or 2 years ago where it doesn't cost you $42 million, maybe cost you $35 million, right? But now the market's been reset three times recently, and it's probably going to be a fourth with Hendrickson. So now it's like, it doesn't make any sense for the Cowboys to do that. Plus, he and Jerry Jones don't like each other. And plus, if Jerry Jones can't quit talking and being a distraction, you can't also have Micah Parsons constantly talking and being a distraction, which he is. And I love Micah Parsons, but he talks a lot. And at some point, it's just like it's too much. In my opinion, they should trade it.
I loved what Stephen Jones said over the weekend about how, what the fans say doesn't really change anything for them. With all the backlash and criticism about what the Cowboys are going to do or not do and the words from Jerry Jones. And Stephen Jones says, what the fans say doesn't really impact us and that they want to get Micah Parsons paid. But then he goes on to say, Micah has got to want to be paid. Like, of course, Micah wants to be paid. What are you talking about? Micah's got to want to be paid. Of course he wants to be paid.
Availability, not, I don't
what?
Know. They're just like these silly games that they play are just not necessary. And normally we don't see it as much out of Stephen Jones. He's usually pretty level-headed. But it's like it's not going to work. It's not going to work. He's a great player. He is as good as anybody through this point of his career. Go run his numbers up through his first 4 years against any of these top guys. He's right there with any of them or higher. But it just doesn't seem like the right fit where he is. So just go get it done. Now, they could just say, play this year, and then they'll put him on a franchise tag, and maybe he plays, and they can get a couple more years out of him, and they can take their shot that way. But it seems like it's just delaying the inevitable. They don't want to pay him. They're paying everybody else around him. And so then don't go trade him. The Bengals, on the other hand, Tommy, I think are in a different situation. I think that's one where you need to get that deal done if you're the Bengals. And I don't know how they do it because they just paid Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow and T. Higgins a whole bunch of money. But if there's any way to do it, that's one where he's at a portion of his career where we know he is one of the best. He is always one of the most productive, and they just don't have a lick on defense without him. So
I feel
the other way. Like that one they need to get.
Yeah, I laugh about this because nobody should be surprised that this is the situation that the Bengals found themselves in. As soon as they re-signed both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, you're like, well, there goes any kind of opportunity for them to have money to make it easy to sign Trey Hendrickson or to get any kind of defensive reinforcements in place. Like they're clearly prioritizing the big three in Cincinnati, and they're just completely discounting their defense. And that came back to bite them big time last year. They did not have anything defensively. They're not going to have anything defensively this season. The best situation for them is that they're able to somehow get Hendrickson re-signed, and then with a new defensive coordinator, maybe change things schematically and hope and cross your fingers that maybe you've got a little bit of something there that can make you somewhat better than what you were a year ago. The biggest blunder from them was the fact that they re-signed T. Higgins. They should have tried to get value in return for T. Higgins and be able to have money freed up to get Hendrickson and other defensive reinforcements taken care of.
I mean, look, they like their offense and they just want it to continue. And I think that's okay. I agree. I probably wouldn't have done that. I probably would have invested it defensively. But I do think they feel like we can just outscore everybody. And sometimes they can. If they didn't get off to a slow start every year like they do, they would be fine, right? They'd be fine. And I will say, too, defensively more than offensively, a fresh face with the same players can make a huge difference. Look at the Vikings and what they were able to do when they were able to make a change of defensive coordinator. Look at the Chiefs and what they were able to do immediately almost when they brought in Steve Spagnuolo. So it's an interesting play. I wouldn't have done it. I don't think it's as egregious as what the Cowboys are dealing with Micah Parsons, and as silly and nonsensical. But I'm with you. I would have probably invested in Hendrickson over Higgins. But I don't think it's like I'm not 100% confident in that. I think it's okay to invest in Higgins and just see if you can get more out of the players and a couple of more drafted players. We'll find out. Their problem more than anything is they start every year so slow, and then they have to try to make up for it by the end of it. And they're really good, and they either get there or they don't. So we'll see on those two deals. Those are kind of the three that are looming right now across the NFL. It's Parsons, it's Hendrickson, it's Terry McLaurin. So we'll kind of and they all are, you know, players that or on teams that, and as we said earlier, could be a threat to the Chiefs if they get into the postseason. I would say that, you know, the Bengals are the biggest threat, then to me, then probably the Commanders, and then the Cowboys. But teams that are good, that we expect to be good, that we expect to be in the playoff hunt at minimum this year, with these situations still looming. It's NFL season. I mean, this is par of the course. We've got pads on. We're like 3 days away from a game. From a preseason game.
Yeah,
I don't even know who it is. I just know it's in July.
The Hall of Fame game is on Thursday night. I don't even know who plays.
It's that time of year where we all pretend like we're excited and going Lions, to watch the Hall of Fame
game. The Lions and the Chargers are going to play, but yeah. I mean,
it's our annual tradition. We'll all pretend like we're excited for the Hall of Fame game, when in reality, none of us are going to watch a second of
it. It's an exhibition game. That's all it is.
None of the starters will play. Nobody of significance will play, but it's a great American tradition to pretend like we care about it because we're all excited. Football's coming and we're all like, oh, I'm the most excited. Football's coming. The Hall of Fame game's almost.
I did see that. And I didn't even think about it, that yesterday was the final Sunday without football until February. Cause we'll get into preseason and all of that, starting next weekend.
I saw that on Thursday.
Yeah.
It's the final Thursday without that must be when the Hall of Fame game is. I saw that same sort of thing. Now that actually does get me excited, right? I will watch mostly it's just the Chiefs that I'll watch preseason football for. I don't really watch if I can find my way to the broadcast of a rookie quarterback that I know is going to get reps in their preseason game. I will try to watch that, and then I'll watch the Chiefs in their starters mostly. That's about it for me with the preseason. But, you know, we're paying close attention to it because we're hoping nobody gets hurt.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Jalen Thompson. You can follow him on X at Jalen Thompson. You can find all his work at the KC Star. Jalen, boy, I wish we had something to talk about this week.
I know, right? Jacob, it's a whole bunch going on.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. It was an insane weekend, not just from the baseball, but from the flurry of injuries, from the flurry of news with the roster, the trades. But I think it all starts with Seth Lugo. The big news of yesterday, they get the extension done. It's been at least a month or probably more that we have talked about his future. And this one caveat of, well, what if they've already started having conversations about him potentially staying? Because if that's happening, then no, we don't want him to trade Seth Lugo. Well, apparently it was. What is it, and how did that go? Have you heard yet? Like, why was it that they were able to get that deal done at such an unconventional time? We don't normally see things like this, but man, it's a great situation for the Royals.
I think it's a mix of things, Jacob. Looking at where the Royals are right now with their starting pitching, they have three starters on the injury list. Cole Reagans, Michael Lorenzen, and now Chris Bubich. Also coupled with the fact that Royals general manager J.J. Piccolo basically said that if you're going to move Seth Lugo, you better have someone that you can get a significant return for or someone that you can fill in his shoes. And I don't think that the Royals were going to be able to find that on the open market, granted that he was going to be a free agent if he opted out of his current deal. So it just made sense for them to go ahead and put the pieces together and extend him because they didn't want to lose what he brought to the table. I mean, you look at what he's done in his 2 years with the Royals. I believe it's a 2.98 ERA over 52 starts. So you don't want to lose that kind of production. And, you know, the Royals gave Seth Lugo a chance to be a full-time starter for longer than one season. And I think that really appealed to him as well because he was coming from being a reliever with the Mets and then just that 1 year with the Padres. So the Royals gave him a chance to really step into his true form, and he's rewarded them at each step. So I think it just was a perfect fit for not only his family to settle in Kansas City, but also for the Royals to have a top ace in their staff when they really need it right now.
It's a 2-year, $46 million a year deal for a $46 million total deal for Seth Lugo. There is an option for 2028 for Lugo. My first thought, Jalen, when this deal came down was that first off, I was thrilled for the Royals. I think it's a phenomenal contract for them. I did think that Lugo might have been able to get more on the open market, maybe slightly more cash, but I also thought that there would be at least one team out there, maybe more teams, that would be willing to give him a full third year. Were you surprised at all by the terms of the deal? I mean, clearly to me, and you just touched on it, clearly he really likes Kansas City.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised too much about the terms of the deal because he would have gotten $15 million if he would have opted into his player option. So you get about a $5 million bump. And then, I mean, I've never made that kind of money, but if we're saying $20 million versus maybe $22, $23 million, it's basically the same, right? So it just depends on the comfortability and everything. And I think he's just really comfortable in Kansas City. And, you know, if in my opinion, I think it's the perfect setup for him and his family because you have a young ace in Cole Reagans. You have a great teammate and buddy in Michael Wacadal also be around for a while. And you have Noah Cameron coming up that you can kind of mentor as well. So you're in a spot where you can still be impactful and still be a mentor and a leader to the young pitchers that are coming up. And that's kind of the best of both worlds, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so, too. So one of the other guys, the young guys you're hoping he mentors is Chris Bubich. He goes on the shelf. Dealing with a shoulder injury, it means that he's going to be gone for a while. It means that they can't trade him either right now. So, you know, how serious is this injury? He says he's been dealing with it for a while.
Yeah, the Royals are still trying to get a more evaluations about how since the severity of it. But when you looked at Chris Bubich in his last start this weekend, he just didn't look like himself. Four walks to begin the game, walking in a run. He battled through that first inning. Only 18 of the 43 pitches were strikes. And I saw a lot of fans at the game were kind of booing the strike zone, but you got to realize when you're not around the plate, an umpire is not going to give you those borderline strikes. So that's kind of just take it for what is worth there. I just think for Bubich, he hasn't pitched this much in his career. Remember, his career ERA, career innings pitch is 130 innings. He's at 116 at the current moment. So he's approaching the longest he's ever gone without, you know, as a starting pitcher. So I think it was wise and prudent to just see what the issue is, why the stiffness, why the soreness is there, and try to get it corrected, because you're going to need him if you're going to make a playoff push at any point in September going into October.
You know, what was probably the deepest part of their team at the beginning of the season, that pitching rotation, is now extremely thin with three guys on the IL right now. And of course, they called up Rich Hill last week. I know they've got Dallas Keuchel, you know, down there still in the minors. Do you anticipate in the next 72 hours before the trade deadline is up that the Royals will potentially look at adding another pitching piece potentially to this team to try to get them through the end of this season?
I think you have to. I really do, Tommy. The way that the starting pitching is set up, you have, like you say, you have three guys that are on the injury list. There's no guarantee that Michael Lorenz is going to be ready to come back when his name comes up off the from whenever the injury stint is going to expire. There's no guarantee that Cole Reagans will be back maybe by mid-August. We just don't know those things. They have to continue to rehab. It's about how they feel, how they get better. Like you said, we don't know what Chris Bubich's severity of that injury is going to be. So you have a Dallas Keuchel that was out of baseball for a while, and now he's come trying to make a comeback. Do you really want to stick him into the playoff race? You have to go and try to find another starter, in my opinion, to kind of round out that starting rotation. I mean, I'm not saying it has to be someone that is, like, top quality, but at least someone to the effect where, like, the Braves just got Eric Fetty for, I guess, cash considerations or maybe a lower level prospect. Something like that, just to have an arm in there to be that fifth starter until your guys get healthy.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, that tells me you're not terribly optimistic about the status of, you know, Lynch, Bubich, Lorenzen, or Reagans.
What if they're not? I mean, if they're not, that's just the reality of it, right?
Reinforcements. You've got to be pretty pessimistic that all four of those guys could be extended time, which isn't good news. And then, yeah, I mean, I suppose if that's the case, that's a tough one. That's hard to imagine them going to acquire another pitcher. But I guess if it doesn't cost you anything but, you know, money, essentially, then go for it. But
I look at it like this. If you're in a playoff race, which the Royals are in, every game matters. And if you don't have a starter that you can plug in on Wednesday, when you have guys that have to go every 5 days, that's an issue. I mean, you can't really tax the bullpen any more than you already have, because those guys are going to start to get worn out. I mean, they already are worn out. Like, Hunter Harvey just came back. To throw him into the Wolves after he hasn't pitched since April 7th, that could be a tough thing to do. And then you always are trotting out Angel Zerpa, John Schreiber. You're always trying out Stephen Cruz. You gotta have another fresh arm somewhere in there. And if you don't go to trade market, do you want to? Who else can you probably bring up from AAA? They really don't have guys that have experience down there. So it's either maybe Dallas Keuchel. Then if that's what you're gonna do, if you don't get a pitcher, then is that what you want to do to make a playoff run? I don't know.
It's the Lorenzen, because right now they have, if Lorenzen comes back, that gives you five again with Rich Hill, right? Like, that's,
yes,
that's the,
well,
one.
Obliques are a tricky thing. I mean,
yeah, man, to go from illness to an oblique, That's tough. And then before we let you go, real quick, Jalen, what do you think about the addition of Grichuk? And is the offense done, you think, at the deadline with that move?
I think that they could get maybe another bat as well. They need balance. And a lot of those guys that they're relying on, like Nick Lothian's also on the concussion list, but he's a you got left-handed bats and you need more right-handed balance, you know? And Randall Grichuk is a good platoon option. He'll probably play against left-handers because he hits left-handers really well. But it seems to me, too, that whatever moves that they do make at the deadline, it might be minor because you just signed your biggest, probably, trade chip to a long-term extension. So I don't know if they're willing to dip into the top prospects. To me, I don't think they're going to do that because if you were going to dip into your top prospects, I don't know if you signed Zeb Lugo to the extension. I think they're going to probably operate once again on the margins and get a few guys to fill in where you can and just kind of, like you said, Jacob, spackle this together until Lorenzen gets back and Cole Reagans gets back and see what they got. But honestly, I don't see them making a big major move at the trade deadline. Probably something minor.
Real quick before we let you go with a couple minutes we've got left, what do we know about Jack Caglione? Obviously, it's a hamstring. He's on the 10-day IL. You know, hamstrings can linger for a while, too. Do you anticipate this is a long-term thing?
No. Matt Cottrell said that they feel it's relatively a minor hamstring injury. So it might be one of those things where you just let him get healthy and not push it and be cautious and allow him to get back, because that's the one thing, like you said, Tommy, you don't want it to linger and turn something bigger than what it already is. So, but I think he should be okay. Like I said, he felt it fielding a double in the second inning and then at the plate as well as he was running down the first baseline. So,
yeah, maybe not, you know, the worst thing in the world either for him to have a chance to catch his breath for a week. It's been pretty chaotic for him since he's been called up. All right, Jalen, we will follow your work, the KC Star. It is that time of year. The Royals are committed to trying to get back in this thing this year, which is great for all of us sitting in this conversation right now because it keeps them interesting. So we'll follow along. We appreciate you being here as always.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. See you next week.
There goes Jalen Thompson. The Royals begin that series with the Braves. Tommy, my Rangers appreciate the series with your Braves over the weekend.
The Braves are not good. They're going to go into full on selling mode. I think you're going to see a reset with this organization.
It'd be great if that could happen like right now.
I know. I'm going to be at the game on Wednesday. It's the one time that I go to a Royals game and I don't wear Royals gear. I'll be wearing a Braves hat and a Braves shirt just because they've been my team since I was a kid. But the Braves are not good. I would anticipate the Royals, my expectations for them, I think you got to take 2 of 3, right? Like at minimum against a team that is reeling like the Braves are. I feel like that's got to be the bare minimum expectation for the Royals.
Well, and I would say take 3 of 3, except they go up against Strider tonight with Rich Hill. So, you know, that's probably a bit of a stretch.
You know, you want to talk about injuries to the rotation for the Royals. Did you know the Braves have 0 of their 5 opening series starters from the beginning of the season healthy? All 5 of them are on the injured list right now.
Strider's the best of them.
And Strider wasn't on the opening rotation. He was on the injured list to start the year.
After this series, it's a 9-game road trip, Toronto, Boston, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Need to get these wins.
Yeah.
That does it for us. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up and getting ready for a week on a Monday. And thanks to Crestview Country Club. Tommy, my wife and kids are leaving me this week at home alone here. I'm going to play a lot of golf, I think, this week, as much as my body will allow me to play. And a lot of that's going to be out of Crestview Country Club, and I'm looking forward to it. The Royals back in action tonight. Don't forget, they're right back at it. No day off yet. They'll take on the Braves. Spencer Strider should be fun. When pregame coverage begins at 6:30. You'll hear it right here on KFH. For Jalen Thompson, for Max, for Tommy, I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.